So we are still discussing the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The name of the third chapter is Karma Yoga. The basic question of the Arjuna is, shall I perform karma or just I practice jnana and give up karma? So Krishna's message is, always you have to perform karma even if you don't need it. Why? Because you have to perform karma even if you don't need it to establish a standard as the acharya, as an example. And then Krishna says, I am working, though I have not to do any work, but still I am working. So in any case, we cannot give up work, even we cannot maintain our body without working. So work can never be given up. Why? What is the deep philosophical understanding? Because soul is active. Soul cannot be inactive. Therefore, when Krishna is speaking, he is speaking this at the level of soul. Soul is active, so you cannot be inactive in any case. Even if you don't need anything, you don't need anything for yourself, but still you have to work to set example. So primarily the work is performed according to the Vedic injunction that is called karmakanda, and gradually that work is shifted from the personal profit or benefit to the service of Vishnu as a yajna. And when this yajna part comes in action, then that karma will become karma yoga. When Vishnu comes in between, then it is a karma yoga. So we discussed this different aspect of the Nishkam Karma Yoga is a subject matter of third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which Srila Prabhupada often times exchangely say devotional service. Nishkam Karma Yoga equivalent to Nishkam Karma Yoga, Prabhupada used some coffin time. Now the one verse which we last time discussed, verse 34. Can you open verse 34 and you read the purport on your own? See, when you hear that I have heard from the scripture, I have heard from the sadhus, I heard from the Gurudev, I should now will not do any wrong thing. I will just be very strict in my rules. But we know time again and again and again we slip from that. We cannot mention that determination which we say oftentimes we will do, but we are not able to continue. Why? This is Arjuna's doubt. I believe what you are saying is all right, Sri Krishna, but it's very difficult to continue it. So many times you think, but I will every day get up early in the morning and chant my rounds before sunrise. But it never happens. 1-2 days it continues and then again it goes slow. So after all, many prohibitions are in the shastra, we know. Like Prabhupada says, the thief knows that if I am caught, police will punish me, but still he never stops thievery. Very common example. Is it right? So what is the reason that compel us to do something which we don't want to do and which we know is sinful? Why we are doing that? Why thief is doing thievery, though he knows it is punishable under the law? Why is doing it? What is that impelling? So this next section which we are today discussing in third chapter is called Lust, the Eternal Enemy. This is Arjuna's question. This is verse 36. So let us read this word 36. Arjuna vacha athakena prayokto yam papam charati purusha anichanna pivarasneya baladevanyavyata. O descendant of Vrishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts even unwillingly as if engaged by force? What is that really forces us to do things which we don't want to do? Last time we discussed who is doer. Basically there are three doers, but responsibility is falling on soul because he desires. So who is responsible for impelling us unwillingly by force to act sinfully? Krishna's answer. This is a connection. Why this question Arjuna is asking here in the transparency? Referring to verse 34 about rag and dvait, in this verse Arjuna asks about attachment to the objects of the senses such as enjoyment with other dvaits, even though it is forbidden by scripture. Though without desire to engage in sin because of knowledge of the rules and prohibition of the scripture, we know anichan, by what influence ken puryukto does one engage in act as if by force. This means that the desire for the object strongly arises under the influence of object stimuli. Diabetic knows I have not to eat gulab jamun. But gulab jamun is in front of his eyes. He forgets even the pain of injection and money involved in buying medicine. He forgets all that and he eats gulab jamun. He eats, is it right? It's so simple to understand, or not? We know, he knows, but he does. So what is the reason? This is the answer by Krishna. This is the answer by Krishna. Shri Bhagavan vacha kamesha krodesha rajoguna samudbhava mahashno mahapapma vidya enam iya verina. It is who is responsible? Kam. Lust, which is very subtle, you cannot really detect lust. It is only detected when it is transformed into krodha. The person can be detected when he is angry. But kami person cannot be detected. But always kami person will become krodhi. He will always have anger. Why? Because mahashno, this lust, will never be satisfied. Maha means great, ashno means actually petu. The one who eats as much as, but he is never satisfied. So this lust is never satisfied. The lust is never satisfied. It always gives rise to krodha. From where this lust is arising, what is the origin of this lust? Rajoguna samudbhava. when the living entity is under the influence of Rajoguna, mode of passion, then all the desires arise. Rajo ragatmak trishna sanga bandhanat. If you go to this verse in chapter 14, which is three modes of material nature, just 1 minute you read yourself. What is this rajo ragatmak trishna sanga samudbhava? Ragatmak, the meaning of that. And then you will understand what is all this. Chapter 14 and verse number 7. Huh? Okay, find out that verse. Now you read on your own. And then you can understand how powerful it is. Can you read the purport of 14:7? 14:7. Yeah, read on your own. Just you meditate on this purport and how powerful is this Rajoguna, which give rise to the lust. This is what we are all doing. How can I have prestige? How can I have my good family, good house, good all things? This is what. And for that, we are forced to do activities which may be sinful. Now, read the purport of verse 30. This verse is 30. 7. Go to the second para. This is most important message of Krishna. So read this purport, the second para, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who will read this? Read, Prabhu.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead expanded itself into many for its ever increasing spiritual bliss. And the living entities are part and parcel of this spiritual bliss.
So, just meditate that we are all expansion of Krishna, separate part and parcel. Why he has created us for his enjoyment. All living entities are created by Krishna for Krishna's enjoyment. Is it clear? And now read the next line.
They also have partial independence, but by misuse of their independence, when the service attitude is transformed into the propensity for sense enjoyment, they come under the sway of lust.
Okay, is it clear? We are created by Krishna to give pleasure to Krishna by service. But when we want pleasure ourselves separate from Krishna, then we are misusing our independence and we are in the control of lust. Therefore, now you read first paragraph. First paragraph.
When a living entity comes in contact with the material creation, its eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust.
Is it okay? So originally we are supposed to 37, verse 37, 337. Is it clear now? We are supposed to love Krishna. But when we forget that, then love transforms into lust in a material enjoyment. Is it okay? Is it clear? Why you have your family? Why you want your children? Because they give you pleasure. We have our children for our pleasure, so Krishna has us as his children for his pleasure. You all as a parent know when the children go away and enjoy separately them with you, then how you feel? You feel sorry. Is it right? Why they have left me? So Krishna feels sorry. But somehow, this is the influence of the lust. Maha achna means it will never be satisfied. Never ever be satisfied. Maha papma, and that is forcing us to do the greatest sin. And then the last word is vidya, no. Enam, this, here, in this world, verina, nitya, very lust is your eternal enemy. Lust is the forces us to do the sinful activities, and lust is never satisfied, and lust is our eternal enemy. Okay? Lust never satisfies, forces us to do the sinful activity. So lust is subtle, growth is grasped. Then comes hinsa. After growth is hinsa, that is physical. So they are one after other, they come in line. Now, then again we read second para where you left. Yes. This material creation is created by the Lord to give facility to conditioned souls to fulfill these lustful propensities. And when completely befouled by prolonged lustful activities, the living entities begin to inquire about their real position. What it means actually? It means in this world there is facilities for enjoyment. This world there is a facility for enjoyment. When we will be completely frustrated from this enjoyment, then we will inquire. Therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, until and unless somebody is not really frustrated in this material life, he will never be serious for his spiritual life. This material world, until and unless we think we can adjust things in this material world and become happy, it means we are not accepting the word of Krishna who says this world is dukhalyam. This world is a place of misery, and we want to adjust and become happy in this world. This won't happen, never happen. Next verse speak about the depth of this lust. This depth of lust is like this. This is what we have read just. This is some question answer. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a way to analyze this. But after fulfillment of desire should be finished. The answer of Krishna is no. This lust is great devourer. It is impossible to satisfy the expectation of desire. Now this is some quotation from Smriti, which means understanding that all that is available on the earth in the form of food, gold, animal and woman is not enough for one person. One should go about with peaceful mind. This is Mahabharata. Everything given to one person, he will not be satisfied. That much is the lust powerful. It is not possible to make an alliance with lust by giving. Usually if you have an enemy, in a political language, you give some gift, sham, dam, bhed. So this is a question by Baldev Vidya Bhushan. So can this enemy be satisfied by giving some gift or some little facility? So this is very formidable enemy. Only the process is done, no other way. Only done. There's no other way to control this. No, lust is very great demon, Mahapapma. There is a similar verse in Bhagavatam also. So this next verse 38 is degrees of lust, shallow, deep and very deep. We human beings, the lust is, example is fire covered by smoke. This is compared to human beings. By careful handling of the smoke and the fire, fire can be made to blaze. By chanting Hare Krishna, this smoke can be removed and living energy can come back to normal constant position. The next depth of the lust, therefore the human form life is changed for living and to expect entanglement of material existence. By Krishna consciousness under able guidance in human form, we can conquer this lust. The next depth, deep, mirror covered by lust, fire covered by smoke, you can see the fire even. And fire can be used for some purpose. But mirror covered by dust, you can see the mirror, but you cannot see yourself in the mirror for which the purpose mirror is made. So this mirror covered is compared to the animalistic life. This is compared to birds and beasts. Second example. And it's not easy for them. So very deep. Next, third example in this verse is fetus covered by the womb. This consciousness covered by, you can't see the fetus when it's covered in the womb. You can't see it. Mirror you can see, but fetus you cannot see. This consciousness covered by the thickness of the lust is exemplified by tree. They are also living entities. This is the first three meanings of this verse. So this is the stage of this lust. Now the next, what is this doing lust? Avritam jnanam etena, it has covered our knowledge. Jnanino nitya verina, it is the eternal enemy of living entities, real knowledge. Kama rupena, in the form of lust. Konseya, and how it is working? Dushpurna analena cha, it is like blazing fire. It's like blazing fire. You put more ghee, it becomes more. So this lust is like this. So here you can see maybe the fire. Come, Baba. There's fire. There was this nice fire. disappear. So it covers the jnan. Now you can think for one next to you, you think it's two. Experience which demonstrates these two major points, how lust leads to rape, means how lust leads to the, how the leads to the rape means anger, and how lust is like a never satisfied fire. Ask them to reflect on merits of analogy of fire. What do you think? You have some experience? Uncontrollable? Never satisfied? You have some experience? Sometimes you become angry? Your desires are not fulfilled? And desires never end. So when do you think these desires will end? When do you think? Anybody can say when the desires will end? When?
We start observing.
We start observing it, okay? Desire never ends. If we desire for Krishna consciousness, agitation of mind and senses. Sorry? Engage your mind in?
For better things.
Agitation of the mind and senses will continue as long as we are alive. Only death is the answer. Therefore, agitation will always be there. Therefore, avoid aggravation. Don't provide situation for aggravation of all these desires. They will remain. It's very difficult. Nature of emotion, we can discuss this, it will come because these urges are there. Vacho, Vegam, Krodh, Upasendra, all these are there. They are pushes. They never end. Mind's agitation, the example given by Prabhupada, old man. The king was asked his minister, when the desire ends, he said, not before death. He said, too old? He said, no, let's go. And he asked the old man about to die. And he asked him to take your young girl with you. The old man, dying in the hospital, not watching the king, but he was looking at the girl. The minister said, see, they never end. Never end. So, agitation will always be there. Avoid aggravation. Avoid the situation. Don't go in that association. Well, old bad habits come back. Avoid those situations. Avoid aggravation. That's all. Okay, next. We'll see this thing. Now if you know the lust is our enemy, so what are the places for lust to hide? Enemy is hiding somewhere in our body. So next verse is Indriya Mana Buddhi Asya Adhisthanam Uchyate. Where is lust? Lust is in the intelligence. What is the function of intelligence? Discrimination, decision maker. mind. What is the function of mind? Thoughts, unfulfilled desires and previous experiences. This is what the mind's function is. And then we have senses, working senses and knowledge acquired. So where is the lust? Senses, mind and intelligence are the places for the lust. So this enemy has strategic position in our own body. Okay? Now from where you, Krishna is advising, is your enemy, I am telling you where it is, where that enemy is hiding. Now you first conquer your enemy and then kill. So from where you want to start? Mind. Well, from where you want to start? Intelligence. Yeah. From? Gyanendriya, mind, intelligence.
Objects that give us the
objects, sense objects, okay. What is Krishna saying? You want to hear what Krishna is saying? Tasmad 41. Tasmad tvam indriyani adav nyamya bharta shava. So what Krishna is saying? From where we start? Indriyani. Why? Indriyani, indriya are grass. Mind, you don't know where is mind. Your mind may go anywhere, but if you control your leg not to go, what mind will do? It is a poetry by a great one, guru of the Sikh, Guru Gobind Singh. He said, let the mind wants to go, let it go. Don't use your senses. What the arrow will do without bow? What the bullet will do without gun? Let mind go. If you, your leg says, I want to go to the cinema. Your mind say, I want to go to the cinema, but you just bind your leg. At least you cannot go there. So, adav indriya sanyamya, through regulation of the senses, you control. And then next, Krishna is saying, then Krishna is giving a one strategy. Indriyani praha, indriyani pranayahor indriyabhya param manaha. Manasastu para buddhe yo buddhe parastusa. Now this is what is this? Body, important than body are senses. Body is working with senses. But more powerful than senses is mind. But over mind is intelligence. But ultimately soul is more powerful. But the super soul is the friend of soul. This is a gradation given. Body, higher than body senses, higher than senses mind, higher than mind, intelligence, higher than intelligence soul, and then super soul. Now Krishna is giving advice. First you control your senses like we do Vedi Bhakti, follow four regulatory principles like this. This is control of the senses. Then by chanting Hare Krishna, what we will get? We will get the support from Krishna. Soul becomes powerful. then our will power increases. Determination and discrimination increases. Now, my intelligence is getting power from the super soul and soul. Intelligence is next door neighbor of soul. So from soul, through super soul, intelligence becomes strong. Determination, discrimination, what is right, what is wrong. Then powerful intelligence controls mind. And then mind controls senses. Now senses will be, there is one analogy there in the last part of the purport. Now senses will be like broken fangs of a snake. They may go here and there, but they cannot do anything because mind is strong. Can you find out in your purport last part?
Yeah.
Last part. It should, the last para. With intelligence, one has to seek out the conscious position of the soul and then engage in the mind, always in Krishna consciousness. That's how the whole problem. Can you find this? So, then you read the whole, it is then the analogy also. Is it clear? There's a Gita photo here. Can you see Gita photo? What is in the photo of the Gita generally? A chariot, horses, reins, and then Arjuna sitting as a chariot truck and Krishna as a chariot driver. This body is compared to chariot. We as a soul are the passengers, Rathi. Senses are the horses. Intelligence is driver. And mind is reins, steering. Who is in the intelligence? Who is in the position of intelligence in Arjuna's Rath? So if we bring Krishna in our intelligence, then Krishna will control reins, mind. We cannot control mind. Bring Krishna in your intelligence by always hearing and chanting holy name. Krishna Katha and Krishna Kirtan bring Krishna, and then if he comes in intelligence, Krishna says in 12th chapter, Mai eva man adasva, Mai buddhim niveshaya. Niveshaya, nivas means house. Let your intelligence be the place for Krishna to sit. Then he will direct your chariot, control your mind and put your heart senses on right path. These three places which the lust is occupying, buddhi or intelligence is minister for the soul. Mind is commander-in-chief. And the senses are the soldiers. And this body is the city. In this city, we are the king. For our minister, if he is with the enemy, lust sitting there, our commander-in-chief is sold to the enemy lust, and the soldiers are working for the enemy lust, then how can we be happy in our own body, which is our kingdom? Therefore, the last verse is, there are two words in Sanskrit, you see, is just for your knowledge. The verse 41 says, Prajahi. Can you see Prajahi? Karb. Okay? And then you see the last word. Jahi. Conquer. Can you see the difference? One is control, other is kill. You can control by senses, regulation, but you can conquer by mercy of Krishna, through determination of the intelligence and strong hold on the mind. Now two more words in verse 51, jnana vijnana. And you see the definition of the two in the purport. Jnana refers to knowledge of the self and this can distinguish from one from non-self, or in other words, knowledge that the spirit soul is not the body. Vijnana is, can you see in purport 41? What is jnana and what is vijnana? Vijnana refers to specific knowledge of spirit soul's constitutional position and his relationship to the Supreme Soul. So jnana vijnana nasanam. This is your enemy. So control, first control and then conquer. How to conquer? Last verse, and then we go to the next chapter. Evam budhe param budhva sanktabhyatma namatmana jahi shatrum mahabahu kamarupam durasadam. This shatru is durasadam, very formidable. But you get power from the... Thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, knowing yourself as the Atma, you are transcendental to the senses, mind and intelligence. O mighty Arjuna, one should study the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence. What is spiritual intelligence is equal to? Krishna consciousness. Spiritual intelligence means Krishna consciousness. It means Krishna in the intelligence. Spiritual intelligence means Krishna consciousness. That's what the place of Krishna is, buddhi, intelligence. You put Krishna in intelligence, then you can control mind. You cannot control mind on your own. And then you conquer your enemy. Then this... Then one line of the purport, you just read one line of the purport. First line, this third chapter of Bhagavad Gita is conclusively directed to the Krishna consciousness by knowing oneself as eternal servitor of Supreme Personality Godhead, without considering impersonal wildness, the ultimate end. Okay? Now this is some exercise. You have 10 minutes. Now the exercise is like that, see. Now some verses will be given to you and you read the verse and purport, and then you identify a general principle from Krishna's analysis of lust, and then select one representative of your group to present principle identified. These are the verses. Group 1. Hare Krishna. Who will be the group 1? Dr. Sam, you, Mataji, all this, you become, and two, three more. Kanai, you can be in that group. Prabhuji, you can be in that group. So you all, one group, you take verse 37. Sit down in some corner, read the verse, write down the principle concerning lust, what Krishna says, okay? And next group is the rest of the... So let first group goes, group A, verse 37. That's how you take Mataji, yourself, you go in that group. Kanai, you go in that group, okay? Now, one this our Partha Sarthi, no. Partha? So Partha Sarthi, you get the half of this side, and your worth is 39. And this side is our Keshav. What Keshav? Nitya Keshav. You work on worth 41, okay? In this side group. Okay, thank you.